This is The Podcast, a weekly debate by two brothers, TechSully and GunSully. Join the discussion on thepodcast.com. That is the words The Podcast with an E tacked at the end. Follow The Podcast on Twitter as @ThePodcast, and don't forget to add the E at the end of that. Now we join our program already in progress.
Episode 85. Call us at 856-677-8559.
Hey, this is Gunn from Washington, D.C.
This is TechSully, passing by a forest fire.
Well,
not even fitting. Half of the Blue Ridge is on fire right now.
Well, at least you're nice and warm. It got a little chilly this morning up in D.C.
My eyes are covered in a nice covering of smoke, which is always wonderful for your eyes.
Yes.
It's so nice to have everybody go, are you okay? Are you sad? Like, no, it's just the trees and the fire.
Yes. Hey, I want to say to all of our subscriber, call in to 1-856-67-SULLY. That's 1-856-677-8559. And you will be able to leave a voicemail message, tell us who you are, and what you want to kvetch about. It is the kvetch line. And really, next Wednesday will be right in the middle of Passover. So I want us to start collecting kvetch line voicemails, people complaining about the kosher movement releasing restrictions on corn and legumes, or kvetching that Orthodox is still holding on to different levels of the fast. Whatever you want to kvetch about, this is the kvetch line 1-856-671. 8559. All right.
Or hit us with news that's not being covered in America. Last year, we did a good job rooting out worldwide stories that were just completely being ignored in America that had a higher dollar and or body count than the news stories getting covered in America.
Yeah.
We're missing something, let us know.
Well, and I have to say, that the fact that news is covered like that in America where, well, the top topic now, what's the trending topic? What are people care? We'll report on that. And so you have America getting hung up on things that are kind of silly. Real first world problems things. Like, hey, if this thing is passed, then someone could use it for something bad. Well, that can be said about anything. That can be said about cars. That can be said about technology. And with the Religious Freedom Act, you have the same thing, where a law that makes it okay for Native Americans to smoke peyote and to take shrooms, people are going, oh, well, that could be used potentially to discriminate against gays. And then there's arguably examples of that happening, which, okay, I don't think business owners should discriminate because I think business owners should want money. But taking away people's freedoms, such as the freedoms that are entitled to everyone, not necessarily a great idea. Anyway, my point is, that becomes the rhetoric. That becomes not news, but instead like a mantra. Like, oh, this is bad, this is a bad thing over here. And they start following these news stories all over the place that seem to support a narrative. And the news just seems to work like that, like bees, like with a hive mind. Oh, we need to support this narrative. We need to support this narrative. Meanwhile, gays are getting murdered by the government in Saudi Arabia, in Brunei. I think Iran might be a little more advanced than that nowadays. But
Iran, back when Interjacket was the head, he said, "Oh, there are none here."
Part of the reason is death there
if you're caught.
Okay. Yeah, I knew that there wasn't gays in Iran. There were women in men's bodies. Basically, in Iran, they basically said, "Hey, there's no such thing as homosexuality, but you could be transgender," which is kind of a bizarre way of being intolerant, where you're, "I'm intolerant of this, but it's okay to do, you know, if you want to lop it off and be a woman, okay, that's fine, but yeah, no rubbing sticks together." So you have governments killing gays across the world and becoming more belligerent about it, and yet in America, this thought of, "Oh, the Christians are out to pick on the gays." Just recently, a gay pastor did a hoax where he wrote FAG onto a cake that he purchased. So then he added icing onto it, and mind you, he did this to a Whole Foods. Which I don't know if I've ever gone into a Whole Foods and gone, "Oh, microaggressions." You know, I don't, like, Whole Foods is a very progressive.
That story was crazy from line one, because they show the picture and the cake says "Love Wins" in one color blue. And he tried his darndest to come up with a close color blue, but he couldn't match the same color as the Love Wins. It's amazing. Yeah, I mean, you have the persecution drama types. I've run into those people along the way where one person in my college took everything out of his dorm room and threw it away, and then claimed he was robbed.
Shoot.
And it was some bizarre. I can't remember what it was. It wasn't racial, but it was some theological, philosophical reason that he believed he was being persecuted, and he believed that people wanted to do that to him. So he just went ahead and did that to himself, so that way he could get the attention he wanted.
Yeah. Well, there was.
Or the girl who had the bee carved into her face.
The what carved?
This is setting the Wayback Machine. I think it was like 2007, when the political races were heating up. Some girl said that a group of men held her down and carved a V into her face because she wasn't a Barack Obama supporter. But the problem is she was clearly carving it in her face in a mirror.
Because it was the wrong direction?
It was the wrong direction.
Oh, gosh. Now, was this a Hillary supporter saying that Barack Obama supporters attacked her?
We are setting the Wayback Machine because this was before Obama was elected, so very fuzzy memories. But I believe she was a young Republican claiming that this was Democrats doing this to her.
Ah, wow. Yeah, that is that's a fresh perspective there, because yeah, recently it's been The hoaxes have been pretty steadily coming from the left. I've been seeing more and more of these where the news will report the worst thing possible, like, "Oh, it's swastikas being carved and on the or it was swastikas being painted all over the university, and it turned out it was a Jewish girl who was doing it. It was the Jewish girl who was complaining about it was found to have been doing it and ended up admitting to the hoax. But, of course, that doesn't make the news. What makes the news is the original story.
That goes with the play school mantra of he who smelt it dealt it. Methinks thou dost protest too much. One is for sure. You see it a lot of the crying persecution on the right side, where the one in Oregon where like, oh, they're being fined for not making a cake. Well, no, they're actually being fined because they did terroristic threatening.
I do want to see your citation on that, because if that's true, I would like to hear more about that. Which came first? Was there the standoff over the cake, and then the person tried to get their entire lives destroyed, and then they posted something online about them, or was it like from go? They were like, let's get these gays killed. Like
it was from go. They denied they declined to make the cake, and then they handed over the home address and phone number of the cake requesting person.
Yeah.
To a list.
Okay. Yeah. That should be dealt with, you know, case by case. That right there is very wrong. For one thing, that's a person's private.
They claimed persecution and then got everybody in the world to send them money on the GoFundMe thing. So they really have all that.
Yeah, but the gay couple is claiming persecution and trying to get Native Americans' rights taken away. So, I mean, it's just crummy people on all sides, because, well, one side's claiming persecution and trying to get laws changed instead of suing that store and those people for endangering their lives, and that being it, they're taking on religious freedom, which religious freedom is kind of an awesome thing. I don't know if people understand what religion is and what it means and how it can be awesome, which if you're kind of a skeptic, there's all sorts of religions out there for you that are made by skeptics and for skeptics that are actually pretty darn cool. And we'll get to that more in the secret society section. The taking away people's religious freedom across the board is kind of a stupid thing to do, because some religions are pretty awesome, including
my point is if we're in a completely libertarian society, you could, if you have a religious objection to anything, you could say, hey, I'm not going to serve you for X, Y, or Z reason, and then that person can easily go get that service and or thing from somebody else. The problem lies in some of the outlying cases where, say, you're in Alaska and the only person who is the pharmacist in the town is a Christian Scientist that doesn't believe in medicine. It could be his deeply held belief that you shouldn't even take an aspirin for anything because all pain is imagined. And if he's the guy that gets promoted to pharmacist in that town, you're screwed until the company can fire him and bring in somebody else.
Well, I don't know what sort of town structure has where you get promoted to pharmacist. But yes, let's
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. I'm doing a reduction to absurdity
I think it could be done case by case. That's the biggest issue. I mean, when you look at a, especially religion, which is generally supposed to be your spiritual experience, and when you see people in a group doing something stupid and going completely against their religion, you got to go on a case by case basis. Not all Christians are the Jonesboro Baptist Church. That's one of the things I was leading up to was you have this narrative in America that Christians are the problem. Christians are the bullies. Christians, they're, you got to make sure they're not picking on Muslims. And Christians, they're always picking on gays. Mind you, Christians are not majority doing any of that stuff. There is no 51% majority of Christians who think gays should be killed in the street. There is no 51% majority. And I'm saying 51%, meaning that would literally be a technical majority, right? It would be, 50%. And there is not that in Christians in the United States who say that gays should be murdered in the streets or Muslims should be murdered in the streets. It doesn't exist. It's not happening. So the actual fraction of Christians that might be that stupid or backwards or inclined to hatred is in the low numbers, single-digit numbers. Most Christians either are just normal, don't want to kill people, or they are actual Christians and think they should love everybody and everyone would be welcome to their church. I've had so much interaction with different Christian groups that are just awesome, and also organizing for fraternal groups and for charities. I look up different charities frequently, and some of the Christian charities have the best ratings because they have low overhead and they do a lot of great stuff. So I always, as much as I love Trey Parker and Matt Stone, I absolutely hated where Christians would just yell. They show Christian missionaries just yelling at starving African people. They're like, they're reading from the Bible to starving them. And that's just so stupid. They will set up entire schools there. And there might be a class in the school that would be a Bible class, but they set up entire schools there to teach kids international language, math, science, and will feed them. They won't let children starve. Christians do a lot of amazing stuff. Now, I'm not a Christian. I'm just saying the news media in America has this bent to say that all Christians are scum. All Christians want to kill gays and want to discriminate. And that's why, we got to be careful of these Christians. And I was watching a cracked video the other day that whoever wrote this line in it is so stupid and ignorant of actual world issues, because they said, they're talking about how Canada is practically the United States. So don't run to Canada if somebody you don't like gets elected. And the one guy was talking about the refugees. He goes, "We just started taking in refugees a few years back, and even then they discriminated amongst the refugees to let in predominantly Christians." And they said that as if it was just the dumbest, most, they are so bigoted, and they want people of the same, as if the Christian Canadians only wanted to deal with other Christians. And you know why that's stupid? Why is that stupid? Why is it a stupid thing to be upset about when talking about Assyrian Christians?
Because they're the ones who are getting slaughtered.
They're the target of genocide. It's infuriating. It's been a test for immigrating to a country under refugee status. Is are you a target of genocide? What do you mean? Are you the people group that is being targeted to be annihilated? No, I'm the other one. Okay, well, you can come in, but you can't be a refugee. If you want to be refugee status, you got to be the group that's being targeted for genocide. And the Assyrian Christians, mind you, the Assyrian Christians are not the Jonesboro Baptist Church. They're not your everyday Baptist church. They're not a bunch of fat, white Americans going to church every Sunday and then filling up the Denny's on their way home. These are Assyrian Christians, meaning this is a culture that is being annihilated that existed 600 years before Islam came to that part of town, and 200 years before the Catholic Church ever existed. This predates European Christianity. This predates Islam by centuries. And we are going, oh, and they're going to get priority over Muslims just because they're Christian? Oh, my gosh. We're so terrible. How ignorant could you possibly be?
That's somebody who's missing the forest for the trees there. I mean, going back though to the religious freedom thing, I think the solution there is to have a completely libertarian society on that, because here in Virginia, in 1969, when they're having the segregation, or in 1966, when they're having the segregation, things, the religious groups were the ones who were pushing for segregation, and there's religious groups who are pushing for integration. And so under a lot of the new religious freedom laws, you can go back to having a whites-only drinking fountain, a whites-only counter, because it's your sincerely held religious belief that darker races are inferior.
Well, Jesus was a proud white man.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. As a matter of fact, in the 1969 Loving versus Virginia, judge's writ, he quotes the Bible saying, hey, God split up the races intentionally.
Part of the Bible says God split up the races intentionally?
He quoted both the Tower of Babel section and the not mixing the tribes one.
Yeah, the tribes thing always cracks me up. You know, we've heard our mother would rant about this because, you know, we are from a mixed race family, and she would always have that verse ready to tear up racist people's arguments when they're going, hey, that member of your family must be adopted, right? And she'd be like, nope. Go ahead, bring it, say what you're going to say. And they go, well, not supposed to stay outside your tribe. And she opens the Bible, reads the verse, and goes, okay, this is said to the Israelites. They are all the same race. This verse has nothing to do with race. So for people
yeah,
to always champion that as, this has something to do with our race. Nope, they're saying don't mix tribes, as in tribe of Asher, tribe of Dan, tribe of Naphtali. And the reason why is because you could marry completely outside of your race, just don't mix tribal inheritances. That's a little confusing part of the Bible. There were mixed race couples, including Moses and Zipporah.
Yeah, no, I want to be clear. I'm not supporting what the judge was saying. I'm saying in his interpretation, in his religion, that was his strongly held religious belief. And
yeah,
if tomorrow somebody else, you know, has a couple of plates handed to him by an angel that only he can read out of a hat.
Hey, that happened to me yesterday, so don't make fun of it. It's going to be the new big thing.
Exactly.
So.
You can have an entire belief, a sincerely held religious belief, that every man above 5'8" is going to burn in hell, so you need to not associate with them.
Yes. I think I might be able to get Spike Lee into that religion, as long as I also speak heavily against race mixing, because boy, does he hate race mixing. Spike Lee is very short. Spike Lee is very short.
Yeah.
If nobody knows Spike Lee, he kind of flies off the handle sometimes.
I'm trying to think if it was I'm gonna have to search to see which comedian this was. It might have been Chuck Nice, but I might get the wrong comedian. I don't want to attribute it to the wrong comedian, but I'll look it up and see if I can find the YouTube clip. But he had a hilarious bit where it's an African American comedian. He says he's at a grocery store and they have a killer deal on, I think he said, apple juice or something. So he's got his entire cart filled up with apple juice, and he sees a older African-American guy looking at him, just glaring at him. He's like, man, this guy really hates juice. It's like, it didn't even occur to him that he was glaring at him because his girlfriend was white.
That's, I think that's Hannibal Buress, I think.
Oh, was it Hannibal Buress? Oh, okay.
Yes, I love Hannibal Buress. Him and Eric Andre... Him and Eric Andre are like my go-tos when I just need to just chill and just turn my brain off. If you've ever watched the Eric Andre show, it's kind of like a waking nightmare, but not for you because you're watching it on TV. It's a waking nightmare for whoever he brings in as his quote guests. It's basically it's a parody of everything, of pop culture, of talk shows, of the media. He just does this just insane, just rip on everything with just one masochistic joke after another.
All right. One of the trending news stories today, can I do a smash cut over to... That or you, I thought you were down on that.
Yeah, I just want to quote Eric Andre real quick. I want to say, L. Ron Hubbard was a black man. His real name was L. Ron Hoyobembe. if anyone needs to look that up.
You've called and left a voicemail with that on it for me like 3 times now.
Turn that poop into wine.
I'm like, okay, my brother John has lost his mind.
Yes, I will try to send you a link so you can put it in the comments here.
Trending on the news today. So it is as we're recording this. 420, so there is all kinds of pot references out there. The Mayor Hoist Hawana. I like Riff Tracks. The guys used to be part of Mystery Science Theater. Sent the most on-the-nose marketing thing out today saying, hey, everybody's going nuts about the reefer. So we're offering 4.2% off everything in their store, and then they're selling their riff on the movie Reefer Madness for $4.20. But then they inside the thing they say, we are just totally cashing in on this. Don't read anything into the fact that we're doing this. So it was pretty funny. But today on Twitter, everything is trending about Bob Marley, about Harriet Tubman.
Harriet Tubman's going to be on the 20, apparently.
Yeah, and I'm blanking out on a third one. Jennifer Aniston, yeah. So I saw a tweet from a enraged skinhead complaining that the real meaning for the season was getting buried by all of this stuff.
Oh, goodness gracious. Yes, I think I know. He's probably upset that somebody's birthday isn't being celebrated, right?
Exactly. He was mad that everybody's talking about all these things and the real reason for the season. So I was very happy because I'm like, hey, I mean, honestly, American Money, it's good. We've got some diversity happening on the Bills. It's long overdue. But the one thing I want to rant about, if you work with anybody, if you've ever worked with somebody who's blind, American Money is heck. It's just crap for blind people. They're all the bills are the exact same size. And so if you are blind, you really are at a disadvantage because you don't know if you've got $100, a $20, a $5, a $10, even a $2 bill or a $1 bill. The one blind guy I knew, he would always try to get everything in ones. If he had a 10, handed it to somebody, he'd say, I'd like all my change back in ones. Because it was the only way he would know that he wasn't accidentally ripping himself off or about to lose much more money than he intended to lose on stuff. And so not only do we need to get and shake up our bills, but holy crap, we should change the size and or texture enough for blind people.
Yeah, that's a smart idea. I a long time ago, I was working in a project in D.C., and they had renovated a whole new section of the building, and the Braille on the doors was, I took a picture of it and I asked people, what is wrong with this? And I took the picture so that you should be able to see the angle. Like if it was Braille, you would be able to see the bumps. You'd be able to see that it was screen printed. And I'm thinking, who approved this? And they thought, like, oh, yeah, blind people can see those. You know, like, they didn't know that Braille is Braille. They thought Braille was, like, magical dots that blind people could see. It just hurt my brain so much. It was embarrassing. The whole renovated area, like, if they ever, I hope they fixed it before they opened it, because that would have been a huge whopping issue with them, I'm sure.
Interestingly, not all blind people read Braille, and Braille is not entirely all that commonly used. It's not ubiquitous in the blind community, because it requires a lot of there's more often people who will go with text-to-speech things. I saw one guy recently, kind of neat, holds up an iPhone, but the screen's not on, and he holds up an iPhone after he finds the door frame, and he waves it kind of around, and then it started just reading off the numbers.
No.
And so it was doing some kind of real-world text to speech. What he saw in front of him, it was reading off. So,
oh wow, that's cool.
That was pretty cool, because we talk about VR and augmented reality a lot. We haven't talked about it on the podcast because it's almost too much inside baseball. But right now, the tech world is going gaga for virtual reality, and I'm still not sold, because most of the devices cost $500 or $600, and you have to hook them up to at the cheapest $1,500 computer. And what I think is really the future is going to be augmented reality, basically heads-up display. Google Glass kind of failed in that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got to interrupt. I'm right next to a pest management services vehicle, and they have rats and spiders screen printed all over the side of their vehicle. Why? Photographs of rats, screen printed, let's say a 500 times life size.
That's ridiculous. That's gross. I'm sorry. Please continue.
You were talking about VR.
Thing that could be used with virtual reality or augmented reality, or virtual reality mixed with augmented reality, is you can have a echolocation style ability for blind people to walk around and navigate. There's already some where there's kind of a don't run into things. A proximity alert kind of set up. And so it's kind of an interesting thing. I've seen some of that. It's adaptive and assistive technologies. If you're following any of that, whenever you're seeing the news come out of CES and CES and whatever the other one is, the Tripoli over in Europe, I'm blanking out on what it's what the moniker that is, but alright, and then last news story I had, Hillary and Trump take New York, and honestly I think they can have it.
Just a second. Yeah, New Yorkers really showed that, like, New York Republicans showed that we don't need nobody from outside of here telling us what we can do and what we should do about, but we got our own people, and Trump's one of our own people. And the Democrats did the same thing, but picked someone who is not from New York over someone who is from New York. And the opinions that I've heard always just hurt my brain, where it's just, well, you know, Hillary's from there, so she should win it. That's her state. And I'm thinking,
like,
I'm D.C. then. I'm from D.C., apparently.
it's maddening because, that came up. When she was running, they said, are New Yorkers going to vote for some non-New Yorker? And the truth is, most New Yorkers are not native New Yorkers. Most New Yorkers are from somewhere else, percentage-wise.
You mean New York City people, or in general?
Because New York City is such a big chunk of population. New York City and ergo the entire state, it is the melting pot of America there. And so most people aren't from New York that are there.
We have a New Jersey number. Post that up on a, we had like a veiled threat from one of our forum members who said, like, oh, you guys like freedom of speech, I'll put that to the test. And I guess the idea was he was going to post our number in a bunch of like freedom of speech forums so we would get flooded with crazy calls and stuff. And it hasn't happened. We've had like a few calls from friends, and that's it. So try again, Albert. I don't know what you did, but it's not working. I guess poke the bear. What was that?
It wasn't entirely effective, but yeah. We've only been hyping it for about a week, so. Right.
Yeah.
Well, now it's a week.
It was the day before yesterday, wasn't it? Anyway, we haven't been hyping it for very long because we just got it this week. But yeah, we want it to be the absolute freedom of speech line. We will roundly criticize ridiculous points. Like, you know, we want flat earthers to call in and tell us how we're wrong. Okay, tell us what we need to change.
And that's a key thing. If you hear something that we say that you disagree with, this podcast has basically done I'm going to blow up this description. This has done the wine party, style. We both know these stories, remember these stories. Rarely ever are we actually at a computer where we can look up and verify and correct ourselves on the fly. So this is what we say on the podcast. Often I'll later go, "Oh, I was wrong about that," as I'm editing it. Feel free to call us up and call us out when we're wrong.
Yeah, Phil Hendry was the worst about that. Phil Hendry is one of my favorite radio talk show hosts who would put on he would do his own guest voices through a phone, so he would have conversations with a guest, and then he'd be answering them, and then so he was using some sort of voice modulator to do the phone call in. And then you would have people call in and actually argue with him as the guest. And the show was really fun. The only issue is I'll never forget whenever he would get a news story wrong and just be talking off the fly, not doing a bit, but just talking. And the one was back when the little white supremacists out in California, the two girls, Lamb and Lynx, were in the news for some reason, and it started a whole fuss about homeschooling, because the parents were like trying to make neo-Nazi pop stars out of their little girls, and he's reporting the story. He's like, something about a family that they have their little boy singing Nazi songs or something. Like, how do you get it so wrong? Like, two girls, and, like, girls is the biggest part of it, you know? Like, yeah, it was silly. They look like Mary Kate and Dolphin.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear a boy sing pop music.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I got to wrap up soon here, but everything we described as our worst case scenario for the election seems to be shaping up right on schedule.
Yeah, I do want to say that I think it was Dana Milbank who posted an article going, Trey Gowdy wants to release information about Benghazi right when it would be most detrimental to Hillary. Of course, playing politics. And it's so infuriating, because it's like...
Every situation gets used for politics on both sides. The perfect example is, I think it was the Tennessee law where they... Tennessee or Mississippi, one of the two, where they were trying to pass a law that says that church guards are allowed to, church guards or anybody deputized by a church is allowed to have concealed carry by virtue of them guarding the church because of the North Carolina incident. And that is the exact talk to the tick of the people who are trying to pass. It's just the complete back and forth pendulum swing where you have two different sides of an issue pushing the same clock pendulum back and forth to pass things. But each side after any tragedy goes, hey, let's not politicize this tragedy. Well, everybody politicizes everything because you filter everything through your worldview, how you see things. You and I see things differently. That's the whole point of this podcast. I own zero guns because I don't see a need for me. What's that?
And I own more than zero guns.
Yes.
Let me go back to the Dana Milbank thing, though. But what's really stupid about this is he was complaining because the news could come out to hurt Hillary. Just Hillary, not the Democratic Party, not the Democrat Party during the presidential election, but Hillary. One person who is not running for president at the moment, she's running to be the candidate for president, and it could hurt her. And he's going, Republicans playing politics. Republicans playing politics with this. Shut up! I get that you're trying to defend your candidate, but it would be detrimental to the Democrat Party if this corruption, along with all your moaning and whining and defending your goddess, you crazy person, if all that came out during the general election and you haven't ripped this Band-Aid off by then, it's going to be detrimental to the Democrat Party. Is that what you want? Do you want the Democrats to be crazy cult followers behind Hillary until the last minute and then ripping the Band-Aid off going, oh, gosh, it's infected now. It's gangrenous. Maybe we should have dealt with this whole issue earlier. Because now President Trump.
Yeah,
President
that was the last week of the week before I laid out my nightmare scenario where
that was last week. And I pointed out that if the Democrats dealt with all this crap now, it would be a flash in the pan. It would be, Hillary has been indicted and it's nothing. She's been indicted and now she's back on the campaign trail because she got indicted and they got taken care of. And it could be the ugliest indictment ever. It doesn't matter. It'll be commuted by the president. He'll issue a pardon instantly. And she won't see the inside of a jail. She won't have to change her clothes. It'll be done instantly. And justice will have been technically dished out. And then the corruption will live on thanks to legal means, which are the president has the legal right to commute sentences and to pardon these. And it would be legal. Justice would have legally been issued out and legally dismissed by the president. And if they did that, Hillary could go on and we could deal with this election and actually deal with the issues, which, as I pointed out before, Hillary and Trump really don't have any points on the issues. They're both kind of narcissists. Maybe we'll be seeing a longer, more drawn out, painful election with Hillary Clinton getting drummed out slowly as the FBI, which is the talks now are there are people in the FBI who are threatening to resign because the evidence against Hillary, which we as the public have evidence that put her away for 30 years at Fort Leavenworth. The FBI has lots and lots and lots and lots more evidence. And so much so that it's to the point where they say, hey, I don't care if I am a lifelong Democrat. I've sworn an oath to uphold the law and the Constitution, and you're not letting me do my job. This is wrong. And it goes all the way up to James.
Here's, here's the scary thing, though, is, okay, the people who are doing the investigation, the FBI, aren't going to be smart enough to understand what they're talking about. The average senator, if she gets caught up before Congress it's going to be people not understanding at all what the heck an email account is that are grilling her.
Well, Lois Lerner went up there and basically said I can't get my emails. My monitor's broken. So sorry, you can't look at it. It wasn't that stupid, but it was pretty much that stupid because she said her computer broke. That's why you can't see any of her emails because her computer broke.
Hey, although I'll give her credit, you and I established how easy it is to destroy hard drives. All you need is $30 worth of thermite. And actually, we're going way overkill. You can destroy a hard drive pretty darn easy. You don't wipe a computer, wipe a server. That's something that they say in movies that only idiots do. And so the whole fact that we have somebody running for president that ordered her staff to do something that only an idiot does is the reason why an IT guy like me is like, holy crap, this, no, Matt, no. Line up, you put your hand out, I'm going to hit you with a ruler. So.
The Lois Lerner situation was the biggest. Probably one of the biggest scandals that, and if nobody knows about this, it's because our news didn't cover it. It just wasn't sexy enough for our news to want to cover this. The last election, this was before the 2012 election, our federal government, specifically the Obama administration, had the IRS acting like an attack dog against any organization that tried to organize for a conservative cause. And by conservative, I mean a Republican cause, because the administration's Democrat, and they wanted to basically handicap the election coming up and maintain power. So tax-exempt status for public groups is a huge thing. When I was a Democrat, I lobbied with a group. I organized with a 501c3 that is also a 501c4. They have education credentials. They give you college credit, and they are a Democrat lobbying group. Now, maybe they can't say go vote for one specific candidate over another during a primary, but they are a Democrat group that has tattoos and status, which makes it easy for them to, or easier for them to deal with their finances and get meeting places. Well, whenever a group would try to start up something like that, but for the other side of the aisle, they would get hounded by the IRS. FBI agents would be sent to treat them as hostiles and search their house for anything and everything that might possibly be used against them. Really Gestapo tactics. And I hate using that term, but yes, when you send agents out to harass people, that's bad. And that is really hearkening to a dictatorial mindset.
That's a clear abuse of power. But going back to the original point, the reason why it kind of fizzled is evidence went up in smoke because everything was destroyed, not wiped. Wiped can be recovered.
Clarify to the people what that evidence was. It was the head of the IRS telling people to take out conservative groups, to take out Republican groups, which is which is it's wrong. As somebody who kind of likes to see an even playing field, it's kind of messed up the thought of you know, like the thought of Matadors stabbing a bull before a bullfight. That
yeah,
give you a warm...
The Picadors do that, yes.
That's what the Democrats, that's what they think is well, the bull is the Republicans. Republicans are bad. So it's okay to stab them before we go out to fight because our argument can't defeat their argument without them being handicapped by not being able to organize.
Speaking of taxes, Gunn, I have to punch out on this because I'm out of time. There is a loophole that started, I think it was in the late 50s or 60s, that allows a parsonage to be completely tax exempt. So for the purpose of taxes, this is a religion, and all of our subscribers are parishioners, and my house is a parsonage.
All right, that sounds good. My vehicle is part of your glebe, right? I just want to make sure when I'm filing, I can...
Exactly. That's official church business vehicle there. So
awesome.
Every Lyft and or Uber drive you give is a missionary trip. So just so we're all clear on the taxes here.
Yes, that makes perfect sense. Yes. No. I would say every trip to the bar with my buddies, that's a missionary trip.
Oh, there you go. Well, and there's Sacramento wine involved. I'm on board.
Exactly. As long as I say the podcast logo, keep talking it out, or motto, keep talking it out before getting vishnicked, it's part of the religion.
Very good. All right, I got to punch out on that. Have a good one. Go have a mission trip. I will see you later.
Yes, and see you on the forum. Thanks to Joshua and Ian in the Philippines for working for us. Aloyan Yabut is making a really cool logo for us. She sent me some previews yesterday, so can't wait to see that.
Very cool.
Right.
Better than yours and my jobs, I'm sure. So very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you next time.
All right, bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Keep talking. Show complete. The code for Game of Thrones is 6D2CG minus 6-3-7-W.Z3-2-5-XT.